had an interesting experience the other day, and you know, a lot of my daily interactions with people and experiences are shaped by what I know. It's like that for all of us, right? We bring ourselves to the situation, and the stories we come with and the approaches we favor impact how we experience new things that we come into contact with. And because I coach high performers, and a big part of that work is around communication, and a big part of that work is around confidence, and a big part of it's around creating results, I experience the world through the lenses of awareness of those factors: communication, confidence, and result creation. And it showed up the other day with a doctor, not one that I was coaching, one that I was actually seeing for the first time. And she's a newer doc, so I gave her some grace on what I want to share, but it's a great example, and I learned a lot from her. What happened was that I went there to follow up on some things, nothing to worry about, by the way, and the doctor that I'm familiar with was out, so I was being seen by someone that I've never met, and she was great in many ways. Pleasant, knowledgeable, friendly. And in relation to something that I read in connection with the issue I was following up on, I had a question about a possible option. And I couldn't tell if the doctor was just unfamiliar with what I was asking about or had a preference against it, but her whole demeanor changed as she replied. She became a bit rigid and her body language looked tight, and her answer was short and seemed to try and cut that part of the conversation off, which didn't match how she'd been up to that point. So I asked a follow-up question to seek some clarity, but it was clear that that portion of our conversation wasn't going to be forward movie. So I resolved to follow up with my regular provider, which I have, and I understand things now and all is well. It sounds like the new doctor wasn't experienced in the options I was asking about, and in an effort to not say something inaccurate, she didn't say much at all. No problem. But I learned so much from that experience that I'm wanting to break it down here, because I think often we have a couple of things going on in these types of situations where we either don't know something that we need to know, are expected to know, something that we don't know or can't remember, or it would be useful to know, yet we're the expert that someone is relying on. And what we end up working with is how we feel, especially when our emotion changes rapidly in a situation, and how we act. And sometimes how we intend to come off isn't exactly how we present. It reminds me so many times talking to my kids and saying, it's not the words that you said, it's how you said it that's worth taking a look at. And we get to practice this skill our whole life of having opportunities to communicate something to someone that they're not going to love or that we're not comfortable sharing. And hopefully we get more comfortable with the process over time, and hopefully it gets a little easier and we get better at it, which is the topic of today's discussion: delivering difficult news. So let's first tackle how we feel in these situations. There's a range of difficulty levels in the things we talk about with our team members, patients, clients, family, and friends about, and understandably, there are related levels of emotion that come with those. When we have time to sit with the information and prepare how we want to respond in advance, those interactions may go better than others, but oftentimes in our lives and in our professions, there are plenty of opportunities to get sideswiped by a situation that you're just in and now have to handle on the spot. Maybe you come home and realize that your spouse, who's been sober for a few months, has been drinking and you didn't see it coming, and now you're in the situation. Or maybe you're working with a client or treating a patient and that person becomes upset. And once again, you're just in the situation without much warning. How we feel directly impacts how we act and how we respond. So how do we manage our minds in unexpected situations where we find ourselves having an emotion that isn't conducive to the way we want to be in that situation? Let's go back to the doctor who wasn't familiar enough to answer my treatment question. My guess is that she wanted to be a lot of things: helpful, knowledgeable, professional, and that she didn't want to be some things that she ended up being, like unclear, short, and tense. But how do we do it? How do we do those situations the way we want to? The first thing I want to suggest is that we take our internal temperature. If it's rising, notice that and take some breaths. Pause. Sometimes we really neglect the power of a good pause, and I just want to mention that pausing can be really effective in allowing you to collect your thoughts and respond in an intentional way. When we neglect this option because people are right in front of us. They're wanting an answer. We're eager to have a resolution. I'd suggest that you'll agree more with the answer you give if you have a moment to think about it. And responding in alignment with who you are and how you want to be is worth the price of a momentary awkward pause, even if it does prove to be uncomfortable. Noticing your internal temperature will allow you to make decisions about how you want to respond. Is it better to wait on the rest of the conversation? Is it better to defer this decision to somebody else? In my example, it would have been totally appropriate for that new doctor to tell me that she didn't have very much experience with what I was describing, but that she'd share our conversation with my primary and one of them would get back to me shortly. I would have rolled with that. Or are you feeling pretty balanced about the situation and comfortable moving forward with it? All of these are okay answers and all will get you a result, but not all of them are right for each situation. By the way, if you're finding this useful, I'd love it if you'd like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell for more content around communication, confidence, and leadership. Now, let's go a little bit deeper on the need to wait, particularly when you have a person right in front of you, because I know a lot of you are thinking, there are situations where I'd love more time, and that isn't available. I have to respond. And I get it. I have those situations too. And here's where I want to spend the bulk of our time together today, because it's in these situations where our stress response is on high and we catastrophize. And sometimes we say and do things in a way that we would like to do differently. And one of the reasons we do this is because we've programmed ourselves to respond to high stress or impending stressful situations in a certain way, and we may not even realize it. So ask yourself, how do you respond generally to things that are uncertain, uncomfortable, negative, or upsetting? We're looking for the traits and responses that you see as areas of opportunity to improve, not the ones you're already doing well in. What would you like to see yourself do differently? It'll help as you're going through this process if you come up with a typical scenario for you and note which parts you'd like to improve. So, if you generally become irritated on Mondays because there's a part-time employee who does some things that just really drive you crazy, reflect on that scenario and notice how you are when you're in it. How do you feel emotionally? How do you behave? Do you become more quiet, more assertive? Do you avoid certain people? Do you busy yourself on your phone? So how do you feel? How do you behave? And then how do those things impact your result? If you become irritable with the part-timer, so emotionally you're irritated, and your behavior in response is to avoid the person and talk less, your result might be that the situation is perpetuated, maybe not completely, but in part because we're not addressing things or being approachable. And only you know the nuances of your personal and professional relationships. There may be situations where truly the best move is to let the chips fall where they may and use it as an opportunity to lean into letting go and finding joy in what is. Those opportunities are abundant. As a leader and professional, there will be many things that require your attention and your influence. It's part of the gig, and those are the ones that we're talking about here. So let me know in the comments what situations are coming to mind as your practice items for patterned responses. Once you've identified your current patterning, you're in a strong spot to make changes. And one of your biggest tools, believe it or not, is going to be allowing some discomfort, particularly when your knee-jerk reaction pops into your brain and you notice it and choose not to react that way. So the part-timer does the annoying thing, you become irritated, and normally you'd walk away at this point, but instead you stay and engage. Or a person cuts you off on the road, you become scared, followed by upset, knee-jerk ideas to speed up and honk at them. You notice the idea, but instead you keep your pace, let them drive off, and breathe yourself down off the mountain. It sounds so logical and easy when we're talking it out, and if it was easy, there wouldn't be so many incredibly smart and talented individuals who have a real opportunity to improve in the area of managing their mind around discomfort, disappointment, chaos, and change. Those are the areas where we tend to demonstrate to ourselves where a little polishing would improve things. We want to notice our patterning so we aren't blindsided by the discomfort that accompanies it. If we know that we become annoyed by someone and we anticipate in advance, we can go one step further and decide on an action that we can take in that situation, different from what we've been doing that isn't helping things, that might improve our experience and potentially the experience as a whole. And I've been using the irritating part-time employee because it's an easy one for us to relate to or find a parallel with in each of our situations. And it really nicely illustrates the process of noticing our pattern, knowing where we get hung up and making a plan to pivot on the actions aspect. When we get in the motion of identifying our behavioral patterns, anticipating our rough spots, and determining in advance how we want to act differently, and allowing the discomfort of not responding to the knee-jerk idea that pops into our head about the situation, we can transfer that analysis and planning to other situations like delivering difficult news. Things about health status, financial conversations, personal relationship things, matters that are important, sensitive, and emotional for everyone in the conversation. The other thing that I want to recommend, especially when it comes to anger, sadness, and fear on your part or on the part of the person you're talking with, is that you decide in advance to be okay with physical accompaniment of emotions. And here's what I mean. You might have a racing heartbeat. You might feel your ears turn red. You might hear your voice crack as you're speaking. Our bodies respond with physical sensations to the things that we think and feel. And even though we know that, sometimes it can be distracting as we're delivering difficult news or trying to talk over the pounding in our chest. But if we know that it's coming, and we plan to breathe through it and just take pauses between our sentences that we say if needed and allow ourselves to be humans having an experience while we carry out our duties and responsibilities, we'll come across a lot more sincere and relatable than if we resist any and all emotion. Difficult news probably isn't ever going to feel great for the deliverer or the receiver, but it also doesn't have to be a devastating experience if we're able to direct our minds and allow ourselves the space to be a living, breathing contributor to the situation, which comes with emotion and growing opportunities and sometimes discomfort. But if I know anything about high performers, I know that we aren't scared off by discomfort. We don't cave easily, and we know how to persevere to make progress in the areas that matter to us most, like communicating and becoming more confident. Like, subscribe, and get notified for more practical tools on creating results in your practice or organization. And also, let me know in the comments how you're delivering difficult news and what strategies help you most. I try to respond to everyone. Creating the health, happiness, and success you want may be a process, but it doesn't ever have to be done alone. With the right supports in place, you can create what you truly want.